Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you watch the evening news? Anybody here watch evening news? Awesome, thank you. How many of you get most of your news from newspapers? Or do you do both? Thank you. Any online shoppers here? I meant get the news online, but any do the online? There you go. Thank you very much. Have any of you gotten tired of watching and reading the news because it's so depressing? There's a few. Thank you. Kind of had enough. My name is Alan Warren, and today's message is the Magi story, the life and times of refugee. And thank you for coming here this morning. It's always really busy at Christmas, so thank you for getting the energy to be up. Today, you will learn an important distinction in this passage from Matthew, referring to the troubling events of the death of the children in Bethlehem. You will learn how Sesame Street is helping refugee children in the Middle East, and you will learn a way to disarm the fear that separates us. Can I tell you a little bit of my own story this morning? Thank you. Margo and I really don't watch the evening news that much. Mainly because we tape our TV programs, it's late when we get home, have supper, so we're kind of watching them when the news is on. So I get most of my news from the newspaper, and I have to tell you, commuting has cut into my newspaper time, because usually I was home before Margo, and I use that time to read the paper. So now my paper reading time or catch-up time is usually Saturday or Monday morning when I get a chance to relax and read the paper. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at times of some of the good news stories you find on television or in the newspaper. There's one outside my door. I've posted it, and maybe you saw it, of Jeff Gordon, the famous NASCAR driver, replacing part of that stolen collection from an autistic man in Hamilton. So, I mean, that was an incredible good news story. I have another one for you today, but I'm leaving it for the message. So my question for you today, it's 2020, right? Okay, thank you. Just want to make sure I'm in the right year. Could any of you use some good news? Awesome. So what I want you to do this morning, your question is, think of a good news story that you've read about or seen in the news on television and share it with the person around you. Or you can think about it, but share a good news story that you've heard or read about with someone around you. Go ahead. Please stop. Thank you. Maybe during coffee time you can keep the buzz going and continue to share good news stories. We need to do that. Now, can anybody shout out in a word or two? What was your good news story? A great grandmother again. Awesome. Thank you. What was the other one?
Me too.
I'm here. Thank you. Any other good news stories?
Rummage sale.
Absolutely. So we need to, the glasses we use to look at the world, don't you agree, affect our lives. So look and tell good news stories. Now, in the story from Bethlehem in Jesus' day, you need to know Bethlehem was a very, very small village. So imagine the headlines in the Bethlehem Chronicle. Visitors from the east come to town to find a baby boy. Good news story? Awesome story. Unfortunately, a few weeks or a couple months later, the headline was Herod kills 18 children. Imagine the horror. Imagine the mother's inconsolable grief. A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children, and she refuses to be comforted, for they are dead. The cruelty in the world. Now, because Bethlehem was a very small village, scholars believe that no more than 20 boys of age 2 and under were killed. And the Storyteller's Companion of the Bible makes a very good distinction in this passage from Matthew. Matthew uses the fulfillment formula a lot, and it usually begins with the Greek word hina, in order that, indicating the events occurred in order that Scripture be fulfilled. Now, Matthew uses this when the angel tells Joseph that Mary will have a child, when they need to flee to Egypt, and when they return home. Please notice that when Matthew speaks of Rachel crying for her children, Matthew replaces "in order that" with the word "so." And as the author said, it's very theologically significant. Matthew does not suggest that the murder of the children took place in order that Scripture be fulfilled. No, the cause of the children's death was Herod's wickedness, not a divine mandate. So rather than trying to explain the brutal event with some glib explanation, Matthew found solace in this passage from Jeremiah. And Matthew offers the solace of those who had suffered in the past to provide solace for those grieving in the present. I found that very, very helpful. Matthew, there's nothing sentimental in Matthew's Christmas story. There's no chorus of angels singing peace on earth, goodwill to all people. Matthew is willing to address the brutality of the world, of the daily news, head on. He knows we live in a world where tyrants do kill innocent children, families, civilians, bomb hospitals and schools. Look at the war, the ongoing war in Syria. Yet Matthew still has the courage to offer us Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Shared tears shed at the cruelty of the world. Shared tears when Rachel is crying for her children who have died, and shared tears when Jesus is nailed to the cross. God knows very well
about the cruelty of the world, yet still offers hope and is right there beside us weeping. We are not alone in those moments. Now this morning, I want to offer you some hope in the form of a furry red ball. How many of you have ever heard of Elmo? Anybody ever heard of Elmo? Thank you. Who is Elmo?
Sesame Street character.
Thank you, a Sesame Street character. Have any of you watched Elmer or The Grouch or Big Bird on television with grandkids, nieces, nephews? And you can even confess when you want to cheer yourself up, you sneak the view yourself, you know? Well, in November, Margot and I were flipping TV channels in search of something to watch the end of the month. And lo and behold, there's Elmo on the screen. Are you kidding me? It's Barbara Walters doing a 60-minute show on Sesame Street. Sesame Street applied and got a $100 million MacArthur grant to help refugee children in the Middle East. Did you know there, not just that, thank you, that 65 out of the 65 million displaced people in the world, over half are children. Refugee figures are presently at their highest since the Second World War. When Jesus fled to Egypt, he only stayed a few years, 3 or 4. The average stay for people today in refugee camps, any guesses?
5 years,
thank you. Any others?
10 years,
thank you. Much better. 10 to 15 years is the average stay in refugee camps. Of the billions of dollars spent on refugees, only 2% is spent on education. Much more pressing needs, housing, clothing, medical, and only a very, very small sliver of the 2% goes for early childhood development. Yet we know that if we do not give young children the tools to deal with the toxic stress and trauma that refugees face, it will have lifelong repercussions. And believe it or not, through the MacArthur grant, Sesame Street is trying to do just that. So this is my good news story today, and I hope you enjoy this clip from the ABC that helps to explain what Sesame Street is doing.
What a thrill this was.
I'm so happy to meet you, Elmo.
Hi, Mr. Terry, nice to meet you.
Hi.
If you're happy and you know it, stamp your feet.
Elmo is a megastar like few others.
Ta-da!
He's been a fixture on Sesame Street for over 30 years.
He's backwards.
Delighting generations of children and adults alike.
What happened?
How are your friends on Sesame Street?
Everybody on Sesame Street is having a really good time. La 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 la.
There's so much goodness for kids in the good times Elmo and his friends have on Sesame Street. And now, they and the team at the Sesame Workshop are all embarking on an amazing new adventure. They're working with the International Rescue Committee to bring hope, hope in the form of education, to the millions of children whose lives have been torn apart by the nightmare of the war in Syria. It's the largest humanitarian crisis of our time. More than 5 million people have fled Syria since 2011, many seeking shelter in refugee camps in neighboring Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan.
These are children with the ideas to make something of their lives, and we're determined to give them the chance.
Earlier this year, Elmo and his furry buddy Grover traveled to a refugee camp in Jordan to meet with some of the kids who now call that place home.
Elmo realized when he was there that all kids are pretty much the same. You know, we have differences, like Elmo has red fur, and they don't have red fur, but we like to have fun together.
Did you think the children that you met over there were sad?
Well, you know, Elmo thought thought, yeah, that maybe some of the kids over there were sad, but Elmo tried to do his best to cheer them up and make them smile.
Sesame Workshop and the IRC are building local learning centers in the camps, making home visits, too.
Education is a haven for people who have lost everything. And for children, it gives them just an ounce of normality that can give them the chance to rebuild their lives.
And they're producing a new version of Sesame Street in Arabic, aimed at reaching children in Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan, especially the refugee kids.
We will also do what Sesame Street does best, and that's modeling inclusion and acceptance.
And you may not know this, there are already Sesame Streets all over the world. From Golly Golly Sim Sim in India to Plaza Sesamo in Mexico and Jima Jia in China. You can find the same kind of educational Muppet magic on six continents, reaching countless children. And Sesame Workshop often develops new Muppets, local characters created to address the needs of that culture. Take this little charmer.
Oh, hello, friends.
From Sesame's South African show, Takalani Sesame.
One in four children was affected by AIDS. We ended up creating the first ever HIV-positive Muppet. Her name was Cammie.
The other children at school don't want to play with me because I'm HIV-positive.
We were able to teach children that you couldn't catch AIDS from playing with Cammie. But most of all, we were able to give children a lexicon with which they could talk about HIV. Another great example is in Afghanistan, where only a third of girls are educated. When we created our first local Muppet, we thought long and hard, but we knew she was going to be a girl.
You know I'm a girl who's going to change the world.
She's going to make this world a better world.
Little boys who watch test 30% higher on gender equity, thinking it's okay for their sister to go to school. And that's the power of media and Muppets.
Are you thinking of a character for this Sesame Street who would be a refugee?
Yes, but so much thought and research will go into what this character ultimately becomes.
Did you learn something in that video clip? Wasn't that amazing that, Sesame Street in Afghanistan is a girl? You know, and it's the boys who partake in Sesame Street, 30% higher, it's okay for their sisters to go to school. Like, wow, I found that just amazing. And the fact they're now going to refugee camps in the Middle East to help children depackage the stress they've been through is awesome. So, I don't know about you, I thought that was an incredible good news story. You can go on YouTube and you can find other clips about this. It's wonderful. Now, nothing seems to stir up emotions these days more than the topic of immigration and refugees. But as one UN person stated, there is no simple solution, there's no magic wand, yet there is a lot we can do to help make things better. And he said all the countries we are talking about were signatures to the 1951 agreement that refugees are the responsibility of the world. Any reason why they are fleeing their home? Why do you think they're leaving? War, thank you. Any others? Persecution? Thank you. If you're a minority, absolutely.
Sometimes drought,
absolutely. Starvation. Now, something that surprised me when I watched one of the clips, migration is nothing new. The movement of people. Think of it. People used to follow buffalo herds. When food dried up in one area, they would migrate to another area. Way before we started putting all these dividing lines, on our world. And before the world maybe has become more crowded. What I also didn't know is the world faced a crisis of this proportion before. Any idea when it was? Thank you, flood. I'm talking about numbers. It was after the Second World War. Huge numbers of refugees and immigration. Our passage of scripture today provides a key insight for dealing with this world refugee crisis. What was King Herod's response when the wise men inquired about a new baby who was going to be king of the Jews? Do you remember his response? What? Tell me about it. Why did he want to know? So he could go worship him, he said. The word says he was afraid. Fear. The next line is important. And so was all of Jerusalem. Do you want to know why they were all afraid? Because when Herod was afraid, he did terrible things. He also did some very generous things in his reign. He helped melted his gold plates and cups to help feed people in his starvation. But later in his life, when he became very paranoid, he did terrible things. Fear makes us, all of us, do terrible things. It caused Herod to kill all the children in Bethlehem 2 years and under. Now, I've just finished reading an incredible book called Love Over Fear that I'm hoping to do as a Lenten Bible study. The subtitle is Facing Monsters, Befriending Enemies, and Healing Our Polarized World. Every time you look in the news, it's, you know, liberals against conservatives, Democrats versus, you know, our polarized world. Now, recently, an acquaintance of Dan White, who's the author of the book, posted on their Facebook that refugees are rapists. Dan goes on to say, "My interest was piqued because my wife and I have spent hundreds of hours caring for refugees in our cities. We've shared meals with beautiful folks from the Congo, from Burma, Syria, and Afghanistan. We've listened to gut-wrenching stories of families fleeing genocide and mothers watching their children starve." Imagine that. Can't imagine that. "We've personally," this is Dan, saying, "we've never met a refugee rapist. I'm sure they exist, as do American rapists, if that's the sloppy language we are using," he says. "So I called my acquaintance cold turkey." Obviously took a lot of courage. "He was shocked I called him. Gently I asked if he had any friends who were refugees. Followed by stammering in silence, he confessed." Where did he get his information? Any guesses?
"The internet."
Thank you. "On the internet. Did your research include any personal presence?" "No." "My suggestion was that he suspend his opinion until he had at least attempted to close the void relationally. And then I invited him to come for a visit, to share a meal, and meet my refugee friends." Fear thrives in the voids between us. In the distance between us, fear wants to create monsters out of image bearers. Isn't that a great line? Listen again. Fear wants to create monsters. Create who?
Monsters.
Thank you. Out of image bearers. Who are image bearers? All of us. Earlier in the book, Dan reminded us that all people are created in the image of God, and as such, we are image bearers. Matthew, in his gospel, tackles the fear and cruelty in our world head on. He calls all who believe or observe Jesus' birth to renew their hope even when there is no apparent reason to believe in the goodness or the providence of God in the face of the cruelty that the Herods of the world can instill. But as he goes through the book, he says in the birth, the life, the teaching, the example, the death and resurrection of Jesus, there are signs of hope, signs enough for continued belief in the goodness of God. And that maybe, just maybe, as we do what Jesus did, if you flip through the Gospels, they're full of stories of Jesus gathering together with others. Do you know when he gathers what he usually does? Breaks bread, has a meal together. They gather around table. Jesus was incredibly criticized for who he ate with. Do you know what happens when you have a meal with someone? Yeah, thank you. You get to know them better. And over time, you might even become friends. When we close the gap between us, we begin to see our perceived monsters as image bearers. And we open the possibility of God's grace to work in our lives, of becoming friends, and reminding one another we are not forgotten, regardless of the horrendous things that might have happened to us and the cruelty in the world. That we matter, that God is with us, and that God loves us, and there's still hope in the world when we break bread together. Thanks be to God. Amen.